Seth, so back to the clusters for a moment. These star clusters fascinates me because they're almost like islands throughout the universe. And as you said, aside from a few that might be scattered outside of it, why do they seem to stay within galaxies? And then you have nothing, and then you have a galaxy, and then you have nothing. Why are they that way?
Well, it's their own gravity. It's, you know, they were big clumps of material in the very early universe. I mean, that's really, you know, the question you ask is actually, it's a very deep question. It's one of the fundamental questions. How did the universe get broken up into galaxies in the first place? And it happened very, very early on when the universe was, you know, still much smaller than it is now. But there were, you know, there were just places where the material of the that was created in the Big Bang, this gas and dust and so forth, was a little bit denser than other places. And so those areas collapsed under their own weight and then fragmented as they were collapsing into stars. And, you know, the stars pull on one another. They have gravity, and so they, you know, they keep their own company. They split up into these, as you say, island universes, which is, by the way, what galaxies used to be called. So,
really?
Yeah. Yep.
It's got incredible order to it, this universe. I mean, it's almost as if everything has a purpose, and it all works in tandem with each other. I mean, it looks like it's been designed.
Well, yeah, that's another big argument, of course. Was it designed, or was this sort of just the result of chaotic processes sort of organizing themselves, as they will do? After all, you can make a rock candy, and it has tremendous design, but, you know, it's still just a very natural process. But there actually is another angle to this, and that is that not only is the universe, you know, nicely put together in the form of stars and galaxies and so forth, but the universe has properties that allow life to exist, and it didn't really have to be that way. You could have had a universe that, in which life would not even have been possible, where you didn't have the kind of chemical properties, for example, that carbon has that allow it to make these big complex molecules and make us. And so one of the big questions that has been asked now for many years is, why is the universe so friendly for life? And that's actually a very profound question.
Oh, it really is. I mean, I even bet you, Seth, because of the mind that you possess, do you ever sometimes just ask yourself, what am I doing here? What's my purpose?
All too frequently. Yes. Yeah, and everybody asks them that. And in fact, I happened to write a little article for space.com here a couple of weeks ago in which I pointed out what our current view of the universe's history is likely to be. Now, we've already talked about the fact that, you know, about 14 billion years ago, there was this Big Bang. Everybody knows that. There's very little doubt about that. And then, you know, you have stars, and you have galaxies, and you have planets, and you have coast-to-coast AM, and so forth. But, you know, within about 100 billion years, all the stars begin to go out. They all begin to die. The sun will turn into something kind of like a charcoal briquette, and most other stars will as well. But all the stars will die, and then ultimately all the planets will sort of fly off their dead suns, and then the stars will evaporate from the galaxies. The galaxies will die. Even black holes ultimately evaporate and die. So then this goes on for a long time, but not just a long time. It goes on forever. So, you know, back in the grade school, you'd make these sort of timelines about, you know, the history of the Earth, and you know, there were bacteria, and then there were trilobites, and then dinosaurs, and then us, and that sort of thing running around the room. Well, imagine a timeline for the universe, and it starts with the Big Bang 14 billion years ago. Now you have all this stuff happening, and then in 100 billion years, this timeline sort of flattens out. It flatlines, and then it runs out the schoolroom door, out the door of the school, down the street, and then it goes on forever. Forever, nothing happens. So that's the universe. There's a brief flash in which something happens, and then forever in which nothing happens. And that really makes me wonder what it's all about.
Well, it is. And, I mean, you've got to believe, as I do, and it's some kind of divine intervention here. And, I mean, that even complicates it even more.
It does. You know, it's kind of, in one sense, it's sort of depressing to think that everything we do is destined for oblivion, you know.
But and I'd see it, and I don't believe that.
Yeah, well, I find very few people want to believe that. I don't want to believe it either.
But you're a scientist. Scientists are cold people, aren't they?
Well, they're not really, of course. Some of them are, but no more than anybody else, I think, any other profession. But, you know, I mean, all they do is they will look at the facts, of course, and say, well, you know, I may not like it, but this is what the evidence seems to suggest. And it does suggest that the universe is going to live forever, except it's going to be dead through most of that.
It's true. That is true. And you know what? If you believe in the hereafter, we live forever, too, I guess, in some form or fashion.
Now, there you go.